Okay. Sorry. There we go. Get my gavel out, make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the City of Bainbridge Island Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is August 1st, 2022 at 10 a.m. We have one item on the agenda today. This is number PLN 51711A sub SPR involving the Ravenwood subdivision. And I note that we initially commenced a hearing on this matter on June 30th. And at the outset of the hearing, had a discussion and ultimately I ruled that we would continue the hearing to today. And we did not actually, I believe, take any testimony back on June 30th. So essentially this is the public record hearing on this matter. That said, this does involve a request for approval of a subdivision and site plan review to subdivide an existing single family residential parcel totaling approximately 0.175 acres at 167 Wyatt Way Northeast, and to allow construction and development of 5 townhomes within 4 buildings with associated appurtenances and improvements. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center, who the city has selected to hold certain land use application hearings like this one. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal complies with the city's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific criteria for approval of a subdivision and site plan review under the municipal code. Also, because it does involve the subdivision of land, ensure it complies with our State Subdivision Act located in Chapter 5817 of the Revised Code of Washington. To that end, I initially received 28 exhibits in advance of the hearing that I had an opportunity to review back in June. There have been several additional exhibits that have come in since then, and I think we should probably sort that out right at the outset of the hearing. But essentially, the information includes a staff report, which was later revised, prepared by city staff, the application materials themselves, information on the notice that went out in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing, information on the review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, including the determination under SEPA, the determination of non-significance, or DNS, that was made by the city, various site plans and details, technical information on the proposal, including information about utilities provided, information on traffic, information on how stormwater would be addressed, information on trees and tree preservation where possible, et cetera, along with agency comments, comments from reviewing departments, and comments from members of the public. So those are the information that I reviewed in advance of the hearing. And exhibits will be deemed admitted ultimately, unless there's an objection made by anyone at any point. And should anyone have additional exhibits they'd like admitted, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll address admitting additional exhibits at that time. All testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed under our state's Land Use Petition Act, or LUPA, the recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits and my decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. Finally, the order that we typically follow, and I believe we're gonna follow today, is first I'll swear in city staff, who will give an overview of the review process that occurred and led us to today's hearing, along with recommendations staff has related to this specific proposal. Then we'll turn to our applicant team or applicant representative to present any additional information they feel that myself and members of the public should be aware of in advance of my making any decision on the proposal. Then we'll check in and see if there are folks interested in testifying from the public. And if so, they will have that opportunity. So when we get to that point in the hearing, we'll check to see if anyone is here. And if so, I'll swear them in and they'll have that chance. And then if necessary and appropriate, following that, we'll turn back to the applicants and city staff to respond to any such testimony. So that's the order we're going to follow. I thank everyone for being here. And with that, we'll go ahead and get city staff sworn in. So Ms. Tyra, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you for being here. And could you just state and spell your name for the audio and explain your role here at the city?
My name is Kelly Tyara, K-E-L-L-Y-T-A-Y-A-R-A. And my role here is the project manager for the City of Bainbridge Island. I'm a senior planner and the city's project manager for this proposal.
Great, thank you. And so at the outset, I was hoping we could just quickly walk through exhibits in terms of making sure, I have everything. I know that initially it was 28. I think I had included last time, actually right at the outset, in exhibit 29, which was an email that had come in from the applicant. And I believe that was on the 29th of June. And then I know that between my continuing the hearing and today, I know the city itself presented, I believe it was three documents. Sorry, I think there was a revised memorandum from Public Works from July 18th that Paul Nyland had prepared. A revised staff report that I believe you had prepared, and a memorandum also from you to the hearing examiner, I believe. Does that seem accurate in terms of the city's additional exhibits?
That's correct.
Okay, so in terms of numbering, I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page. So I believe I had said exhibit 29 would be the email essentially requesting a continuance from, I believe, sorry. I believe from the applicant. I'm trying to see, I can't find a name on here, but that was my recollection. Does that track with what you had in your notes? I'm sorry. I'm trying to see where this came. I think it was from...
It might have come from Bruce.
The challenge is I think it was sent from someone to someone, and then by the time it gets forwarded to me, it's hard to tell who it's from. But it says, Dear Planner Tyara, respectfully request a one-month continuance.
Right. That came in the day before, so...
Right, June 29th.
We believe that was from us.
Okay, Kelly Sampson. That
was right? From, yes, Kelly, from Kelly Sampson. It was emailed June 29th.
There we go. Okay, so I had the email, we'll call it, from Kelly Sampson et al. As a June 29th email. I had that as exhibit 29. And I believe I had stated in my opening remarks last go round that that's what I would label that. And then I'm just checking my notes here. Okay, I don't show that I had any other additional exhibits that I was going to admit, or that I did admit last time. So essentially we would have that and then the additional materials from the city. And then I know there were some public comments that came in as well.
Yeah.
But why don't we make, I would suggest we make the revised staff report essentially, 1A, and have the existing staff report be 1B, just so that, the staff report sort of stays in that one slot, if that makes sense. Does that work for you?
Yes.
Okay, so revised staff report, we'll just say is sort of 1A, existing 1B. And then we'll make Mr. Nyland's memorandum exhibit 30.
Do you want to stay consistent with that numbering and do the 24, 24A, or?
Oh. No, I just to the extent okay. that in terms of my own head, other than the staff report, sort of everything else I'll sort of treat as in addition to.
Okay.
But thank you for the suggestion. But yeah, I'll just confuse myself otherwise. So I'll say memorandum from Paul Nyman from July 18th, I believe, or July 18th. Public Works, that'll be exhibit 30. And then the memorandum from you to the hearing examiner will make 31. So memorandum from planner Tyara to hearing examiner, also July 18. We're going to make that 31. And then I know there was at least one comment, public comment, but there may have been more, and that I was a little confused as to that. So if you can help me understand, I know there was it was forwarded sort of as an email, not as a PDF or anything. So that's kind of tripped me up, but I believe I know there was at least one public comment from a Becca Hansen.
Yes.
The Madrona Group.
Yes, that was.
I show that on July 26th.
Yes, she had written to me earlier. So I'm trying to find that now. Sorry. Yes, July 26th. That's what I have as well.
And then did you have any other additional public comments that you're aware of that came in?
No.
Oh, okay. So it was just the one. Okay, excellent. And then any other exhibits that came in that I should be aware of that may well have been forwarded, but we're trying to sort process still.
No other exhibits.
Okay. Well, I think then with that, I can let you proceed with your presentation of this matter. And thank you for helping me sort that at the outset.
Thank you. So as I said, I am the city's project manager for the Ravenwood subdivision. This is a proposal to divide one lot into five and construct five single family townhomes. The site is located at 167 Wyatt Way and is 7,647 square feet in size. The property is located within the core overlay district of the mixed use town center, and this is commonly known as Winslow. The property is currently developed with a single family residence and a garage that will be demolished. Surrounding properties contain a mix of single family, multifamily, and commercial development. The city conducted CEPA review and issued a determination of non-significance, and there was no appeal of the threshold determination. In the staff report, there was one public comment received when I drafted the staff report, and that was considered as part of the staff report. The July 26th comment came in subsequent to the staff report, so it's not included in that analysis. The application before the hearing examiner is a request for consolidated review and decision on preliminary subdivision and minor site plan and design review permit. The latter is required solely because the two units are attached. The project report prepared for the hearing examiner in court incorporates review comment and recommendation of the Planning Commission, the City Development Engineering Manager, and the Fire Marshal, along with the Director of Planning and Community Development. The Director recommends approval subject to the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission, which incorporate those conditions recommended by staff and the Fire District. The application is properly before the hearing examiner for decision, and that would conclude my opening remarks.
Okay, and then so ultimately at the outset, as it were, of the hearing when we commenced on the 30th, there was this issue about a proposed sort of condition related to requiring a pedestrian trail. I believe that's been resolved, at least in terms of thoughts between the applicant and city staff, but could you just touch on and speak, clarify on kind of what happened there and where we're at this point?
Yes, staff had originally recommended a condition to provide a public trail through the development. And that was because we have something called trail connection zones. So there are these big blobs that run the whole length, in this case, from Madison to Erickson Avenues, which is about a quarter of a mile maybe. And so the subdivision standards say that a connection may be required. And so it's pretty subjective. And I think what essentially happened was that staff thought that since a maintenance easement, a utilities easement, was going to give the city public access to fix the sewer and water mains or do whatever they needed to do, the city needed access across this easement. And I think there was a mix up, and it was understood that perhaps public access was appropriate there. So the subsequent to the hearing continuance, the applicant met with the Public Works Department and the Planning Department, and we kind of sorted out where there was potentially a misunderstanding. And so I want to make clear that there is common access. Everybody in the development has access from Wyatt to Madrona, and it's commonly used, but it is not public, nor does the city recommend that it be public. We feel it's really an inappropriate place for it.
Right. There's not going to be signs, identifying that as a trail. It's just that should there be need for, fire access or utility, work to be done, that's something that is accommodated, but it's not, access to the extent of, inviting the public at large to come onto to this area. Is that an accurate assessment?
That's correct.
Okay. And then thank you for clarifying that. And then in my estimation, because we came on the record and I made a ruling that the hearing would be rescheduled or recommenced today, I don't believe any additional public notice was required, but did the city provide additional notice? Again, I don't believe it was required. I'm just trying to make sure I have a thorough record of what happened.
Not formal notice, no. We updated the hearing examiner's webpage, and that was about it, I think.
No, that's great. I'm glad that happened, but no mailing, no additional mailing or publication. Struggle to believe there are still people that find out about these matters by looking at page 42 of whatever newspaper in the small print, but that is what it is. But thank you for clarifying that. And then finally, could you just touch on, I know this has sort of changed, over time somewhat recently, but in terms of my authority as the hearing examiner and what I'm responsible for in terms of, I know that here we've got, the planning commission is involved, the director's involved, then I'm involved. And I think in the last few years, there have been changes to the municipal code in terms of, how much deference is required. Can you just briefly touch on that issue just so that I make sure I have fully understood those changes?
Yes. So I'm not sure when those changes took place, perhaps 8 months or a year ago.
I know it was after a hotel, perhaps, was involved. Not this one, but
I think it was a hotel. So when that change was made, the hearing examiner, shall make compliance with the Planning Commission's recommendations a condition of approval, unless the hearing examiner concludes that the recommendation reflects inconsistent application of design guidelines or applicable municipal code provisions. Excuse me one minute. So sorry about that.
No problem.
So reflects inconsistent application of design guidelines or municipal code provisions, exceeds the authority of the design review board or the planning commission, conflicts with SEPA or other regulatory requirements, or conflicts with requirements of local, state, or federal law. And in my introduction, I tried to emphasize that the recommendation by the director is that of the Planning Commission. So all of those conditions were those that were recommended by the Planning Commission.
Right. But just to be clear, in this circumstance, have there been changes to the recommendations since the continuance, to the extent that, or was the one condition that was really at issue kind of, that was something that came after the original review by the Planning Commission, if I remember right? I just want to make sure I've fully tracked what happened.
Yes, that came after. So all of the recommendations are those recommended by the Planning Commission. On the prior staff report, the Director of Planning and Community Development had sought guidance on inclusion of an additional recommendation to make a public trail access through the property. That was not something that was presented to the Planning Commission. So it came up subsequent to that. The director, where the director asked for guidance, and then we withdrew that request. So that condition, the condition for which we were seeking guidance, was never incorporated into the Planning Commission's recommendation.
Got it. Okay. So I think I have fully grasped kind of where we started, where we went, and where we are at now. So thank you for clarifying that for me. Sorry, did I interrupt you there, Ms. Tara?
No, I was just saying you're welcome.
Okay. And then, let's see, I had one other note here. Just wanted to check. And I believe, just for purposes of clarification, because it is somewhat unique to Bainbridge Island, well, I'm certain it is, but this proposal, I believe, is using unused FAR or floor area bonus sort of ratio from the Islander Mobile Home Park. Is that right?
That's correct. And at this point, I'll bring in that there is a tangential relationship to the only ordinance or the only resolution that was passed between the time that the applicant applied and today. So the application was submitted on January 10th, 2022. The application was complete on March 2nd. Resolution 2022-05 was passed on February 22nd, 2022, and it authorized the city manager to effectuate a transaction to purchase the balance of floor area ratio from the Islander Residents Association. The applicant has already purchased the floor area ratio that will be transferred for this property, so that resolution does not impact this project.
Okay, so the there's no vesting problem is the first thing in terms of when this was complete, but in terms of that specific issue of the FAR bonus, although there has been a change to the municipal code since this was deemed complete, ultimately it's a non-issue, but in terms of what it all means is essentially, you know, this applicant has sort of purchased credits related to this other site that has is, you know, underdeveloped, I guess would be the term one would use to allow for somewhat increased, you know, floor area density, however we think about it. But then in the long run, clearly the city is sort of tracking the way all of this plays in, because now the city is the one that sort of owns the rest of the bank. Is that one way to think of that?
I don't know if it's been purchased to date. I just know that as of February 22nd, the city manager was authorized to enter into those negotiations for that purchase.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is someone is keeping track to the extent that not every project is saying, oh, you know, pull from that cookie jar, and nobody's really tracking it. It's clear someone has been paying attention, and I don't know if, you know, if it's Mr. Nyland or someone else's job, but someone is keeping track of all those credits, and ultimately the city is one day going to sort of own the rest of those credits so that it is very clear where we end up. Is that right?
Yes. And the city attorney's office works with, so we've worked with the Islander Mobile Home Park all along to make sure that that when they did transfer floor area, that there was a document that was recorded with the county, things like that. So yes, we've tracked that all along and we'll continue to do so.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I think I did have one question specific to stormwater. And so maybe I should just swear Mr. Nyland in and ask that of him. Does that seem like an appropriate next move?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Nyland, thank you for being here. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
I do.
And could you just state and spell your name for the audio recording?
My name is Paul Nyland, N-Y-L-U-N-D as in dog. And I'm the the engineering manager for the Development Engineers and Water Resources Group at the city. And my role in this project was to review the civil engineering aspects of the proposal.
Great, thank you. So my question on for you, sir, and was just on stormwater management. I'm just looking here at my notes, and they're in Exhibit 14, the preliminary stormwater report. I was hoping I had an exact page number. I apologize, I don't seem to. But my notes say capacity issues, ? I know that's not a very helpful note. If this doesn't ring any bells for you, I apologize. I'm now frantically looking at Exhibit 14 to see if I have a more specific site here. But could you just speak generally to your review of the stormwater suggestions in the preliminary review, and then kind of what the process is to ensure that there is capacity and no concerns ultimately over stormwater?
Yes, sir. I guess I would like to know more of what you read there.
My apologies. It says, as mentioned in the downstream analysis, the drainage system in Madrona Way has limited capacity. So then they reference, you know, their plans do not worsen the situation. They've got certain ideas. And I suspect this was not ultimately a major concern. I was just hoping for further thoughts or guidance on the review that'll occur to ensure that there's no major issues with stormwater.
Yes, that's correct. I think the downstream analysis was accepted, and that there aren't any capacity issues from the relatively small addition of hard surfaces here. There are some on-site facilities listed in the preliminary stormwater plan, and it was deemed to be compliant, and where there was really no further, or at least a potentially compliant solution, right? The requirement is that we get the full 100% construction drawings after the preliminary subdivision is approved, and then so we will continue to make sure that it's compliant, but the preliminary solution and report were acceptable.
Okay, that's really what I was looking for, and I apologize for the vagueness of that. Whenever we have one of these that starts and stops, it can be a little bit of a challenge keeping track of things. So my apologies there. And while I have you, did you have any other thoughts, comments you wanted to share in relation to this proposal?
I do have two other things, if you don't mind, sir.
Not at all.
The first one on the stormwater, the original proposal has been reviewed under the 2012 stormwater manual that was amended in 2014, and on June 30th, the city adopted the 2019 manual from Department of Ecology, so future reviews of this will be done under that manual. There are not really anticipated to be any huge changes to that, and the applicant's engineer is aware of this change, right? That was an ordinance 2022-11, Because it's a stormwater manual, it's regulatory and environmental in nature, it doesn't vest. So we just review under the new manual. The manual was, the update was incremental in nature, and we have yet to really run into any issues there. But I wanted to bring it to your attention that we would be reviewing the stormwater future, right, under the new manual, even though the record says the 2012 manual. So that's the first thing. The other thing I wanted to note is that back to the public easement, not probably, the easement, the non-exclusive easement for utility that is located south of this property, and it crosses the Madrona Commons property to the south. And there was some discussion from Ms. Tyara that it was going to be utilities in that. And the original plan for sanitary sewer was to use that easement and connect to the sewer main that's in Madrona. That plan has changed, and so the current plan uses some individual grinder pump systems and pumps uphill to an east-west sewer main in Wyatt Way for I think four of the five units, right? Well, there is one that's going to connect through an existing connection. So I wanted to clarify that there was a change to the utility plan, and that probably did contribute some to my confusion about what that utility easement could potentially be used for. And it's in the record, but I'll just say now that in our meeting with the applicant and then just other reconsideration, there were some other things. Public safety was probably an issue. This public pedestrian pathway would by necessity cross two parking areas in front of some blind turns in front of parking garages. So we reconsidered the public safety aspect of that. And I think also the dead end piece, right? We would have dead ended pedestrians with no where to go except for to trespass on a private piece of property, right? And that's just not acceptable. In my defense, or the city's defense, I would say that this connection is sort of an ideal part location for this connection, and we would still desire it somewhere in this trail connection zone, and it's because it's a blob and it gives us some flexibility, that's a plus, but it also has some subjectivity to it, so that makes it harder sometimes to sort out where it should be. So that was all sort of fully reconsidered, and I apologize for the confusion that caused, but I think we got to eventually a decision that's amenable to all, hopefully.
Sure. And you're not on trial, Mr. Nyland.
I know, sir.
Thank you. So ultimately, the idea is, some trail connection in the blob, as it was described, is desirable in the future. And this property ended up being looked at. There was sort of confusion in terms of several things sort of happened and with moving parts. But ultimately, it was determined that a public trail here would not actually ultimately make sense in terms of, you know, it'd be a trail to nowhere, as it were. And that's obviously not the end goal. Is that accurate? Yes. And then thank you for clarifying about stormwater. And I do appreciate your explanation of stormwater manuals and stormwater analysis not vesting. That's, you know, something that does come up in my work a lot, and not everybody ultimately agrees with that interpretation, but it is certainly the interpretation I think is supported under the law. So with that, we'll move from Mr. Nyland. Ms. Tyra, did you have anything before we move to the applicant team?
I do not, thank you.
Excellent. Okay, so at this point, we'll go to our applicant team with Mr. Winslow.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just state and spell your name for the record, please.
Charles Winslow, CharlesWenzlau.
Great. Thank you for being here. And I believe you serve as the architect. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And so this is your opportunity to present additional information you feel that myself and members of the public should be aware of, and provide any clarifying thoughts, comments, and also let me know if there are other members of your team you were hoping to have me hear from.
Okay. I have no comments to make myself, but Kelly Sampson, who's sitting next to me, would like to make some comments.
Absolutely. Okay, so we'll get Mr. Sampson sworn in. Thank you. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could state and spell your name.
Kelly Sampson, K-E-L-L-Y, S-A-M-S-O-N.
Thank you. And my understanding is you are the property owner?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Sampson.
I'll keep it really brief here. First of all, I think Mr. Nyland and Ms. Tahara have been operating in good faith here. They're just a series of dominoes that happened here and misunderstanding of what that easement actually was. And that was that led to the next thing. And the system somewhat failed them that we didn't get notified. Had we been notified ahead of time, we just sorted all this out before the first meeting. And that wasn't their fault. It's the system's fault. But that was, so I just, on the record, I appreciate Mr. Nyland apologizing, but got thousands of things to do every day, and this just was mischaracterized. And there's a lot of reasons the trail doesn't make any sense, which I think was all pretty clear right now. I think the biggest issue was when we have a newly minted employee in a newly minted position of a planning manager, and that was where the decision was made to put this trail into last minute. And it was, in my view, a fairly breathtaking disregard for the 10 months of work that had gone before. And it's a $10,000 problem for me. It somewhat begs the question why we go through this process. We aren't gonna honor it. It was a little frustrating. But to be clear, Mr. Nyland and Mr. Tahara were completely in good faith in all this. So I appreciate that.
Sure, but I want to point out, Mr. Swanson, that in terms of the system and the process, you know, the decision ultimately, all that staff is ultimately doing is making a recommendation in terms of conditions to me, the hearing examiner. And had we started that hearing as planned, and one of them said, we've had an additional, you know, suggestion of a condition, I think it would have been even more of a mess, to the extent that if I, you know, and they would have had every, you know, every right to say, you know, we think this could be appropriate. And then you all would have been, confused. And I probably would have been confused, and things could have really broken down. So I just want to point out that, you know, in terms of process, while it certainly has not been perfect, and I understand your frustration, ultimately, the final decision comes down to me, and staff certainly has, the not only ability, but obligation to suggest recommendations to me based on the information they have right up until the hearing occurs. So I just want to break in and point that out. And I apologize for interrupting, but ultimately it is, you know, those are merely suggestions, to the extent that I'm the one that takes the heat in the end, in terms of any conditions that I put in my decision. So apologies for interrupting, but go ahead, Mr. Swanson. I
completely agree and appreciate it. And I should start saying I appreciate the fact we postponed this for a month. So what that did is it bought us the time to understand the problem. Had we had the meeting, continued the meeting on June 30th, I was ignorant of the misconception of what that easement was. Everybody in the room was. And because we'd been kept blind to the decision until the last minute. Had we known that through the process, we could have had those conversations sometime in the last 10 months. So I know, I be clear, I'm really happy you gave us, and I appreciate the fact you gave us the continuance. It gave us a chance to find out what was happening. So this was the appropriate.
Right. And I don't want to dwell. I don't think it was they knew for 10 months. I think it was, as Ms. Tahara pointed out, because of some not major revisions to what you were proposing, but some of the minor changes in terms of how sewage would be dealt with, et cetera. I think it led to additional conversations, and that recommended condition was something that came quite late in the process, shortly before the hearing, is my understanding of what happened. But, again, I don't know if it's helpful for purposes of what we're trying to accomplish today to really dwell on all this, but go ahead. That's just
fine. I agree. I don't want to dwell on it either. So yeah. I think we're in the right place now. The only thing I'd want to mention for the record was I filed with the city notification that I'm well past the 90-day time period to approve plats, which is I'm not making a big issue of, but if this ever needs to go to appeal, I would want that in the record.
Okay.
So I assume that is in the record or not in the record, or because I time stamped it. I would assume that'd be in this record. Is that correct?
Well, the record will clearly reflect sort of when the plat was, the application was deemed complete, some process, there are things that toll that 90-day period when additional information is requested, et cetera. The last 30 days in my mind wouldn't count to the extent that you all requested that and I granted it. And I'm not going to sit here and do the math, but I can guarantee if there were an appeal, someone could do the math on your side and on the city side and argue about, what counts as those 90 days. But sure, I'll note in my testimony that you expressed the fact that, that shot clock in your mind passed. Again, I'm not going to make a ruling on it. I'm not required to. I will make every effort to produce my decision in the 10 business days allotted to me once the record closes. But I understand the point, certainly.
Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Mr. Winslow, did you have other members of your team you wanted to call on or that are joining us here today?
I would just like to point out that our civil engineer, Adam Wheeler, is here to take questions if necessary.
Sure. Well, I'll just quickly speak to Mr. Wheeler because I just wanted to have him verify some things. So thank you for being here. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just state and spell your name for the audio.
Adam Wheeler, A-D-A-M-W-H-E-E-L-E-R.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. So just real quick, I know it was very inartful in the way I described it, but in terms of the stormwater, I think I just wanted to make sure everyone, was clear that all that I have reviewed or all that the city has really reviewed at this point is a preliminary, process, suggestion for how stormwater would be addressed. There are identified deficiencies, infrastructure-wise in the immediate area. This is obviously a relatively small project in terms, in all terms, but in terms of stormwater. But if you could just very briefly speak to that and then clarify sort of Mr. Nyland's discussion about the plan in terms of the minor changes, but how effluent, et cetera, would be addressed as well.
Sure. Yeah. So just based on our work in the area, the Madrona Way system, because of some utilities actually out in Madison Avenue, is pretty shallow and very flat. And so we've recognized that system has limited capacity, and other projects that we've worked on that discharge to this system, we've provided some form of mitigation so that we're not exacerbating that issue. So on this particular project, our approach is that we're actually going to discharge in two locations is what we're proposing at this point, and I believe that's going to be where we end up at the final plat also. But we have a discharge out to Madrona, and then we also have a discharge out to Wyatt Way. The Wyatt Way system has capacity that actually has recently been upgraded out to Madison Avenue. And so what our plan was is that we're actually going to we're going to reduce the amount of area that actually is discharging down to the Madrona system so that the peak flow coming off our site is less than the existing peak flow that's discharging down to that. And so the remaining amount of water is going to go up to Wyatt Way.
Right. So even if there were existing, I don't know that there are, but even if there were existing sort of problems, concerns related to stormwater coming from this site, this proposal is designed to actually improve any potential concerns about stormwater over in that Madrona area. Is that right?
Yeah, we're actually reducing our peak flow.
Right.
Discharge to the Madrona system.
Exactly. Okay. And so before we move on from stormwater, and then also Mr. Nyland testified that the 2019 DOE manual versus the 2012 with 2014 updates is not a major overhaul, and he didn't think there would or foresee there being any major issues. From what I know, I don't think there would be either, but is that your understanding as someone with expertise?
Yeah, I think especially since the system discharges the salt water as opposed to a freshwater body, the changes in that respect in the new 2019 manual are very small.
Okay.
So I don't see an issue with us being able to meet those requirements on site.
Excellent. And then in terms of sewer, Mr. Nyland had testified that was sort of something that had altered from the beginning to the end of review. Could you just very briefly, if you know, touch on what the changes were?
Yeah, so what we're currently showing on the plans that you've seen and that we originally submitted with the project is where we're heading right now. So we have four of the units going out to Wyatt Way and a grinder pump or gravity sewer system. And then we have one unit going to an existing side sewer that's going to be relocated on the property. And after the submittal, we were trying to figure out a way to, I guess, handle this situation a little bit easier without the pumps. And so we approached the community to the south about gaining an easement and constructing a sewer line that went to the south. And so we've made some progress on that. They backed out of that agreement. And so we were kind of stuck with this. So, and Paul and the city had reviewed that preliminary kind of plan. And then since that time, that's property owner to the south backed out and said, no, we don't want to give you this easement. And so now we're back to what is currently shown on the plans.
And to be clear, what is currently shown is the four units, grind pump, Wyatt, one with a side sewer, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And theoretically, sure, but theoretically, Mr. Wheeler, if something were to change and the property owner to the south said, hey, you know, there's no trail that's coming through, blah, blah, blah. There's been clarification. We actually have no major issue with the easement in terms of the sewer. If that were to be the case, is that what you would hope to do?
I mean, it would be, I mean, as an engineer, you always want to reduce the amount of pumping that you're doing. So if there's an opportunity to do something by gravity, you would take it.
I was going to say, use gravity where you can. That's the way you design an efficient system that breaks down far less. So I guess what I would suggest is, you know, A, I don't want to cause more problems, but B, I want to make sure I write my decision in a way that would allow a certain amount of flexibility so that, you know, if this became a possibility, and Mr. Nyland and the city were to sign off, I want to ensure I don't have to do anything. We don't have to come back here. But in your mind, if that became possible, that would be something the applicant would like. Is that, and I can also have Mr. Winslow and his group in the room verify, but from an engineering standpoint, am I correct in thinking that would be the ideal situation?
Yeah, I mean, let's say it was even somebody else to give us an easement. It would always be, it doesn't have to be that particular person, right? If there's a route to go by gravity, unless there's some kind of extenuating circumstances, that would be the cheapest and most reliable way. Sure.
Okay, great. And quickly, Mr. Nyland, I was about to go to you. So Mr. Nyland, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your, thank you. I wrote the conditions to allow for either solution.
Oh, right? Okay.
So there are conditions that are, and they're written generally enough that just say any individual pump systems shall be owned by the city and require an easement from it, because that's how it works. That's what the RCW tells us we have to do. And then also wrote it that it could be a gravity fed system to the south, and any connections there would have to be done to the standards, and that would be an extension of the main, and we would go through that developer's extension agreement to extend it. So, because I had drawings for both sides, I hear your questions, and I think we've, in anticipation of either solution would be workable, we wrote conditions that would match that.
Okay, clearly Mr. Nyland has been appearing in front of me too long and too often, and he is already anticipating the thoughts that he knows I'm going to have. So I thank you, Mr. Nyland. Yep. I think all of that probably makes sense. So Mr. Wheeler, do you have anything further you wanted to add in terms of engineering?
No.
Okay, and in terms of our applicant team in the room there, with Mr. Winslow or Mr. Swanson, one or the other, but did that all track and make sense, and is sort of what the applicant understands and
we're good.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. I see we have another HB Harper as a panelist. Is this someone with your team or someone with the city? I just want to clarify.
HB Harper is the planning manager.
Oh, thank you. I hadn't intended on calling on you, but would you like to be sworn in and provide any testimony?
No testimony. Thank you, though.
Okay, thank you. So then with that, I think we'll see if we have any members and I just want to make sure I didn't mean to cut off Mr. Winslow, but anything further in terms of applicant testimony before we see if there are members of the public?
No additional testimony.
Okay, thank you. So I have one identified attendee, Steve Yanagamachi, which I'm sure I said mispronounced, but we'll see if Steve is interested in providing testimony.
Please raise your hand if you'd like to provide testimony.
Sorry, and when you say raise hand, were you asking they use the raise hand feature?
Yes, sorry, raise the hand. Yes, use the raise hand feature so that we can see that you would like to provide testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Desmond. So that feature is in the bottom on your Zoom screen. And if you are interested, you can hit the button and that'll let us know, and we'll make sure that you're able to do so. There we go. Okay, so we do have interest.
I have nothing, just to let you know, nothing here.
Okay. Thank you very much for clarifying. Okay. So with that, I'm going to go back to Ms. Tyara and see if she had any final thoughts or comments on behalf of city staff.
I do have one additional comment. Thank you. Mr. Sampson had noted that the city's decision was beyond the 90-day regulatory requirement, and I haven't counted the days either in terms of start and stops, but I will point to Exhibit 7, which is notification to extend the decision timeline, and as provided in the Municipal Code BIMC 2.16.020L, if the city is unable to issue a final decision within applicable time periods, the city shall provide written notice. So Exhibit 7 is written notice of extension of the deadline.
Okay. And again, you know, I think we've all done a fairly good job today on focusing on what I need to address and accomplish ultimately. And I'll suggest we just keep going. I will note for the record that comment, also Mr. Swanson's comment, it is not my job to ultimately, you know, make a ruling on that, but it would be in the record. All that said, I believe I now have everything I need to make my decision on, and I apologize. I think I keep saying Swanson. This is Kelly Sampson, right? Can I get a, I apologize profusely. I have terrible handwriting and I just don't know what happened there, but I do sincerely apologize, Mr. Sampson. I think, again, I do have everything I need to make my decision. I certainly have no intention of causing delay. Like everywhere else, my own team, as it were, has had, health challenges and staffing challenges and backups, but we are sort of toward the tail end of accomplishing all that. And I do know that this project had unforeseen delay. And so I will make every effort to issue my decision here in the next 10 business days. And so that is the intent. So I think with that, we can go ahead and conclude our hearing today. Did you guys have questions? Sorry, I just saw you may have unmuted over there.
Oh, just wanted to thank everyone for their help.
Absolutely. And so with that, we will go ahead and conclude our hearing on the Ravenwood subdivision matter. I thank everyone for taking the time to answer questions, participate in the process, and sort of follow through. This one obviously was unusual in getting to our hearing today, but we got there and I think I have everything I need. So thank you. We'll end today's hearing. I wish everyone safety and good health. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.